how it worked out with scheduling is I am preaching at all the masses this weekend as well as all the masses next weekend. And so it's somewhat of a two-part homily, if you will, both this weekend and next weekend. And the series is entitled Plugged In. For this afternoon, I want to look at four things: an article, what the problem is, an antidote to the problem, and getting plugged in. So first, the article. There was an article not too long ago written in the Washington Post titled this: America is losing ground to death and despair. The article cites that life expectancy in the United States of America, despite unbelievable advancements in science and medicine, really unmatched anywhere else in the world, is going to decline for the third straight year. That's the first time that we've seen this since the year 1918. What was going on in 1918? World War I was ending. It ended in November of 1918. And there was a flu pandemic, of which wiped out a third of the world's population. Today, 100 years later, the decline in life expectancy in the United States is for different reasons. And maybe primarily due to one reason. It's not due to a world war going on, and it's not due to a flu pandemic. The article points to a new study that shows that the decline in life expectancy is caused by what people are calling deaths of despair, drug overdoses, suicide, and liver cirrhosis, which in conjunction with oftentimes alcohol addiction. Fatalities caused by the loss of hope. America is losing hope. Why? What's the problem? The article doesn't give an answer. It doesn't aim to give one. It just states that it's happening. And it has a tone as if to say it just doesn't make any sense. In a country that's as developed as ours is as wealthy as ours, it just doesn't make any sense. It seems that a big part of the problem revolves around another trend in our country. Pew Research polls now reveal that for the first time in America, those who self-identify as having no religious affiliations at all, called the nones, not the religious habits, nones, but nones, N-O-N-E-S, for the very first time, has surpassed those who identify as Catholics or evangelicals, the two largest religious affiliations in our country. We are living more and more in a world apart from God. And a world apart from God has no hope. And quite frankly, how can it? Because of the fall, we've been inflicted with a disease. The disease of sin and the disease of death. And there's no escaping those diseases. Not outside Jesus rescuing us from them. Jesus alone is the antidote. He alone can deliver us from despair. He alone can give us peace, abiding peace. And peace, that's something our world today craves. Studies show that people today are more stressed, more depressed, more anxious, and have less peace. And I don't intend to paint a broad brush here. Things are complex, and mental health, of course, plays a role here. And At Our Lady of Mercy, we have a ministry, our Open Hearts, that minister to people with mental health issues. Father Don and I often meet with people, and oftentimes people that we meet with, we end up recommending to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. But without God, there is no hope. There's no peace. I crave peace. And that's when I hear the gospel today and I hear Jesus' words, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." The peace that I can give you is the peace that the world can't offer you. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." I hear that and I'm like, what do you mean peace? Like, what do you mean talking about not having a troubled heart? Where do I get that? How do I find that? Where do I get that relief in my life? And Jesus just points to himself. And Jesus saying this, it's not him just wishing us well before he leaves, or wishing his apostles well, and as we proclaim this today, wishing us well. It's a promise. It's a promise of his presence. This doesn't mean there's not tension in life. Of course not. The craziness of life is great. But it is to say, when Jesus is talking about the peace that I can give you that the world can't, it's a supernatural peace that can't just be explained or justified rationally. But we have to be plugged in. And the only way to stay plugged into him who is the antidote is to pray. You and I want peace. We need to pray. Want to grow in confidence and know who you really are? Pray. You want to know that your life matters and you have something to live for? Pray. Want to be secure, to have something to fortify you in the midst of suffering or tragedy in your life? And if you're not going through suffering or tragedy right now, wait a week. Wait a month. But you want security when storms hit? Pray. Want courage and strength to take the steps to be the man or woman that you know you're capable of being, for not only for yourself, but for your family and your community? Pray. Want to know you're loved? Pray. But my experience now in the last couple of years is that many people don't pray. I don't mean before meals. I don't mean praying an Our Father or Hail Mary before going to bed or asking the Lord for help. That's all well and good. It's more than well and good. It's really important. I'm talking about setting time aside to be with him. To be plugged into the source that you and I long to be plugged into. I would be nothing if I didn't pray. Like, really. I have nothing to give you as your priest other than Jesus. And I don't have Jesus to give you if I'm not praying. And really, I don't see it any different at all from me to you. Like, what do you have to give your family, really, other than Jesus? The problem, again, from my own experience, from my entire life, and as a priest for a couple years, prayer's not intuitive. It's hard to do. Actually, it's really hard to do. And most people don't know what to do. Church-going people, Flannery O'Connor was a prolific author in the 50s and 60s, and she wrote these amazing short stories, and she's an amazing, devout Catholic woman. And recently her prayer journals were published, not too long ago. And one of the entries that she made the day just had one line in that day's entry. And it said this, and again, this is from an amazingly devout Catholic church-going woman. The one line she put, or that she wrote in that day's journal entry was this: "Won't someone please teach me how to pray?" I think that's true of a lot of us who go to church. Whether that's someone in junior high or high school that says, "All right, I'm gonna pray. Like, I'm gonna start. I'm struggling. I know I need help. I'm gonna pray. I want to do this." Or it's an adult who's returning back to prayer, or someone maybe who's never prayed outside of just formal prayers that we've learned growing up as a little kid. And then we've had an experience where we sat down to pray, and 2 minutes later, we get up and say, "Well, that didn't work. Must have did something wrong there. I tried." And then we feel small or stupid. And we give up trying, or we feel inadequate. But we have to be taught, not so much methods of prayers, but more so having the right mindset of what prayer is and what prayer isn't. Prayer is a matter of life and death. I'm becoming more and more convinced of that it's a matter of life and death. So it's imperative that we get plugged in to Him who is the antidote. The antidote to despair. The antidote to not having peace. In moments and in times when I'm anxious, in moments and times when I'm depressed, I'm at my best when I pray. In moments when I'm depressed, in moments and times when I'm anxious and I don't pray, I'm at my worst. And the difference between when I pray and when I don't pray, that is, when I relate my heart to Jesus, it's all the difference in the world. Because prayer is everything. Because Jesus is everything. We want to make sure everyone's on the same firm, solid foundation here. So we got a whole bunch of these books. A lot of them. They're small, really small. By an author, an amazing author by the name of Peter Kreefts. He's incredibly easy to understand. And the book is entitled Prayer for Beginners. We got a whole bunch of these books. We had them at all the masses out of the narthex, but they're all gone. But this is a two-part homily. So I'm going to order probably about 600 more, because that's how probably short we are. 600-700 more. Got them. Get them for $5.50 next week. Now for you guys, the delinquents. Just kidding. We'll have them out in the basket, $5 to put them in, or if you don't have $5 to put in the basket outside in the narthex, grab one anyways. Read it and pass. Let it make its way around your family, your children, your grandchildren, those in high school, junior high. They can read this book. I'm a beginner when it comes to prayer. America is losing hope. Let us combat that move to despair by first plugging ourselves in to the only real antidote. Just don't be afraid to call yourself a beginner.